بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. وعن جابر رضي الله عنه قال قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو قد جاء مال البحرين قد أعطيتك هكذا وهكذا وهكذا فلم يجئ مال البحرين حتى قبض النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلما جاء مال البحرين أمر أبو بكر رضي الله عنه فنادى من كان له عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عدة أو دين فليأتنا. فأتيته وقلت له إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لي كذا وكذا فحثى لي حثيا فعددتها فإذا هي 500 فقال لي خذ مثليها. متفق عليه. This is the closing hadith in the chapter which deals with honoring one's commitments and fulfilling the promises which one makes. We began briefly a discussion of this hadith. The narrator is Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, obviously from the latter part of the hadith, we find that this wasn't just something Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised him that when the wealth of Bahrain comes, this refers to the jizya or the taxes that were collected in Bahrain. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when it comes, I will give you so much and so much and so much. As we mentioned previously, this haqadha wa haqadha wa haqadha, in the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, it is mentioned, فَبَسَطَ يَدَيْهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stretched his hand out 3 times. In other words, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not specify the exact amount that he would give Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but indicated, he made a gesture, stretched his, I'll give you so much, so much, so much. From this, on the one hand, ulama ikram mentioned that we see the great generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He could have told Jabir radiallahu anhu, when this wealth comes, I'll give you 1,000 or 2,000 or whatever it is. But this type of gesture, especially when one is giving something away, that I'll give you so much, this indicates 2 things. One is the person that is giving, the extreme generosity of the nature of that person. And secondly, when you make this type of gesture, I'm going to give this away in that manner, then it shows that the utter valuelessness of wealth in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had no value for worldly wealth. This is why it was, we find hadith of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mali walid dunya, what is there for me in this dunya? This is a sign of extreme taqwa and piety. When the heart disattaches itself from the love, what we call hubbul mal, from the love of worldly wealth. And only one whose heart is disattached can make this type of gesture. Where I'll give you and just stretch one's hand out like that. It shows that this wealth had no value in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we find that this type of thing, when Sahaba would come to Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they were in need, whatever he had, he gave it to them. At times, he would allow them to take a debt on his behalf. Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam never kept anything back. And it is clear from the timing of this hadith, or from the incident that occurs thereafter, or the latter part of this hadith, that this was at the very end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And particularly at that time, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never liked to keep any dunya with him. He didn't want to leave this world whilst there was some wealth with him. In fact, it is mentioned that tuwaffiya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa dir'uhu marhunatun 'inda al-yahudi bi 30 sa'an min sha'ir ishtarahu li ahlihi. That at the time of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his armor had been kept with a Jewish neighbor somebody who lived in the precincts of the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kept with him as collateral for 30 sa, that is a measure of that time, for 30 sa or 30 kilograms or 30 weight of barley, which he had acquired from that Jew in order to feed his family members. This was the extent of the zuhud, of the disinclination of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the world. He didn't keep anything of the dunya with him. Nevertheless, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala is the narrator of the hadith. He says that the wealth of Bahrain did not come until the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already occurred. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. From here up to this point, ulama ikram extract another very important lesson that we learn from this hadith. We find that there are certain deviated sects in Islam that hold the viewpoint that na'uzu billah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alimul ghaib. He had knowledge of the unseen. We find incidents like this clearly illustrate the fact that alimul ghaib is only Allah. Knowing everything and knowing the unseen is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, how was it possible that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made such a promise to Jabir that when the wealth of Bahrain comes, I will give you so much? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know that he was going to pass away before that wealth came. So it is obvious from this that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not alimul ghaib. He made this promise and then he passed away. So when the wealth came, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa at that time. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu made an announcement. Man kana lahu inda Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idatun aw daynun falyatina. This also we learn that financial commitments or promises that we make, this is something of grave importance. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be called upon to perform janaza salah of sahaba, he would ask the question that does this sahabi who passed away owe anybody anything? And if the answer was yes, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, one of you perform his. In order to emphasize the importance of discharging one's debt. Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, who is the narrator of the hadith, that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed a janaza salah, and then he was leaning against the wall of Baqi, and he gestured, he said, Subhanallah, ma unzila min at-tashdeed, glory be to Allah, what a weighty order has come from Allah. Sahaba were affected. They saw the reaction of Rasulullah. They were so afraid to even ask the question, Ya Rasulullah, what caused you to react like this? 24 hours transpired. The next day, they mustered up the courage and they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, mat tashdeed alladhi unzil. Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Jahash is the narrator of that hadith. He says, I went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I asked him, mat tashdeed alladhi unzil. Ya Rasulullah, what was that weighty command of Allah? A hukam of Allah Ta'ala that caused you to react like that, hold your head in your hand, gasp in astonishment. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel came and informed me that if a person becomes shaheed in the path of Allah, gives his life in Allah's path, is given life, then gives his life, is given life, then gives his life, wa alayhi dain, and he has a financial commitment which he did not discharge, he will not be allowed to enter into Jannah. So financial commitments, this is something that has to be taken very, very seriously. Cannot be taken lightly. So in any case, coming back to this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when the wealth of Bahrain comes, makes the announcement that, is there anyone amongst you that had some promise from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or was owed anything by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, falyatina, he should come to us. So at that time, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala says, I went to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And one more point, ulama ikram mention, is that if there is some maslihat and benefit and requirement, it is permissible to specify a recipient from the Baytul Mal, from the public treasury, when allotting or distributing the wealth of the public treasury, to make a commitment to some individual where the rest of the public does not share in that, in an Islamic state, will be allowed if there is some maslahat or some need or some requirement, as was the case in Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this commitment to him. So coming back to this incident, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I came to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and I said to him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me that when the wealth of Bahrain comes, he will give me, and he repeated the gesture of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like this and like this and like this. Hakada wa hakada wa hakada. So what did Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu do? Interesting point which ulama ikram raise at this juncture is that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not ask Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In this riwayat we don't find it, that he asked Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu to provide some proof. You've made a claim towards some wealth, or that you are being owed some money, or there is a commitment that you should be given a financial payout or reimbursement. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't ask him that, Jabir, what proof do you have? Now, what is the reason that he didn't ask for proof? One explanation ulama ikram give is that it is possible that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had prior knowledge of this promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had been present when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to Jabir radiallahu anhu. Second explanation ulama ikram give is that Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a person was a person of impeccable honesty and integrity. So therefore there was no ostensible reason to doubt his claim. So based on that, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted it at surface value. Third explanation, some scholars state that there are other riwayat where there is a suggestion that possibly Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu did request witnesses. Whatever it was, look at the manner in which Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu fulfilled the promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With his own hands, he picked up wealth from this wealth, from the wealth of Bahrain, filled up both his palms and presented it to Jabir and told him that count it. When he counted it, he found that it was 500 dirhams or dinars, whatever the currency was at that time. So the first time he made him count it. Second time Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, take double. In other words, take another 1,000. If this is 500, so hakada wa hakada wa hakada, like this and like this and like this, three gestures. So the first time the money was counted. The second and third time, Abu Bakr didn't put his hand again in the wealth. And the second time and third time, he just said, count another 500 and then another 500. So based on this riwayat, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala received 1,500 from the Baytul Mal in order to fulfill the promise and commitment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the reason why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned this particular hadith in this chapter. One interesting point ulama ikram extract from this particular hadith, or the conduct of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala at this juncture, is that when you are paying somebody, Let's assume you owe somebody a certain amount. Whether it may be something that is measured by liters, it may be a metric measure, or it may actually be something that you physically count. And you use something by which measurement is established. It's not necessary to repeat the process over and over and over again. For example, if your measuring bowl weighs or contains 5 liters or 6 liters, by example, then if the amount owed is 30 and this thing measures 6, then you can tell the person, take 5 times that amount. It's not necessary to keep re-measuring the thing over and over again. Allah give us tawfiq and transparency.